Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 128 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. And I'm Adam, of course. With me is Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hello.
Mary Lang.
Monday.
Oh, good grief. And is that a new greeting?
Yeah. Okay.
And Robert.
Morning.
Haynes.
So good for us.
In a matter of opinion. Hello. Oh, it's very exciting. Next week, Doctor Who starts, by the way.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yes. I haven't heard about that. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Rumours are rumours.
The crux of this podcast finally gets underway. I have plans, of course, because there's only a five episodes before we have a break. And that means that 5 weeks before we look at series five. Series four. So, and hopefully by the time we finish watching series four, they'll bring it back again. But I'm thinking they'll probably bring it back at Christmas and it will run on from then. What do you think?
Well, I heard somebody say that March.
March?
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything. One of these days we'll do time crash.
Yeah, I'll do time crash when Reese is available. He's expecting me to take the mickey out of him, but my fault. Well, it's technically my fault. It's actually my customer's fault for wanting their wedding filming on Sunday. The reason why we couldn't record yesterday. Sorry?
I like Ian's comment that he was going to keep sending in his feedback on time crash on the odd chance that Reese, appears.
But we already did that, didn't we? I thought we were pretty sure we already did his feedback on time.
Well, yeah, and he said he's going to keep sending it in until Reese is there.
good point, yeah. Right, hang on, I've just forgot to plug me thingy in. I hope that works, because I've got... By the way, unless you're obviously not a friend... What's that funny noise?
What's that noise?
I don't know.
That's like a kettle boiling.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just a strange connection problem. Right. Yeah, unless you're a friend with me...
Is that feedback?
Well, not in a minute. Yeah, it will be feedback. Yes, I'm setting up for feedback. So feedback from feedback. Anyway, yes, unless you're an actual friend with me physically on Facebook, because I didn't put it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, I now have an iPad. And I have to say, they are actually rather useful pieces of equipment. After I used to scoff at them, what's the point of them? Very, very useful indeed, especially...
Apple Podcast.
Yeah, but especially if you have a business surrounding audio-visual productions.
Yeah.
And... So now, instead of directing people to the website or to our YouTube channel, I can physically show them samples of my work via the iPad.
Oh, yeah.
Which I couldn't really do with the iPhone, because the capacity on the iPhone is not really big enough to contain an 8 gigabyte video. So,
And it's not exactly a huge screen either.
No, but you can get pretty good video on a Retina screen iPhone 4S, but it's not really conducive to... Obviously, I could put small samples, but on this thing, I can put a couple of full-length videos as well as the samples, so it's exactly what I need. Plus the photos, and plus all the other bits. I can put my diary on here now, and I can record with it. I've got GarageBand, I can do fancy things like that. I can use it as an interviewing tool. I haven't actually discovered a lot of things I can do with it later on, but I've got enough with it now that I can do with it, and it's going to be very useful for this show, because I don't have to use Alicia's laptop to play the audio feedback anymore. And the troubles I was having with that. Right.
So, Adam, you should go for a sponsorship from Apple, since you're doing such a great advert for them.
I'm surprised you didn't wait until the announcement of the new Apple products in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so I've heard a whisper that the iPad Mini is coming out, and my words about that were, what's the point? And but I didn't actually mention the fruit word. You mentioned the fruit word. I just mentioned the iPad. So that was your fault. I was keeping brand names out of the conversation.
Well, it's a bit hard considering there's only one company that makes the iPad, isn't it?
Yeah, but some people, it's like the Hoover. There's lots of companies make vacuum cleaners, but people call them Hoovers.
Yeah, there's only one Hoover, yeah.
Well, they call them Hoovers over there. They're more likely to be called Kirby's over here.
Oh, that's so true.
Kirby's?
So true.
Oh, I see. Does that mean because you do all the Hoovering in your house? Right then. I've got some audio feedback. I just hope it. I've got my microphone turned up to the correct. I've got quite a lot of stuff to read out here. This is the first one I've got here. And being that the iPad is so good, it actually scrolls down the Gmail screen really quickly, unlike the notebook that I usually use. And I'm usually fighting with it to actually get the thing up on the screen. But with this, I can just press thing, and it, fingers crossed, it will actually play it. Probably too loud.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Kirk.
It might be too quiet.
Time Crash by Stephen Moffat.
It is.
Two TARDISes crash into one another as a result of the damage the Master had done by turning the TARDIS into a paradox machine. The 10th Doctor meets the 5th Doctor, who takes a couple of minutes to realise the desktop theme has changed. The collision threatens to blow a hole in time and space, but the Doctor fixes the problem, having remembered seeing himself fix it. Before the Doctor can raise the shields, he is hit by the Titanic. There was a TV series recently about the Titanic, with Jenna Louise Coleman in it. Perhaps we can see her again next year. The Claws of Axos by Bob Baker and Dave Martin. John Pertwee was the Doctor when I was growing up, but I did not like him much. I like Katie Manning. They had bad luck with the weather, with days of fog, snow, rain and sunshine. Katie says when they were not filming, she and John would go and stand inside the spaceship to keep warm. I do not like this story much. There's too much techno babble and electronic music. The stuntman cyclist gives a very strange performance. I wonder if he keeps saying R because that doesn't count as dialogue under the rules.
Yeah, I was wondering
There's
that.
A documentary on the DVD which points out that the Axon's name is similar to Peter Axon, who developed one of the first video recorders. There seems to be a heavy-handed implication that beauty equals good and ugliness equals evil.
Yes.
We're supposed to think the Axons are good because they look like gold statues, then know they are bad when we find out they really look like a Yeti covered in spaghetti.
Yes.
10 years earlier, there was a James Bond film called Dr. No. The Master's outfit looks similar to that of Dr. No.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
As often happens in Doctor Who, there's a lot of dubious hiding. That is, people do not see other characters because it is in the plot.
Yeah.
The American agent is fighting his replica. The set wobbles a lot.
Yeah.
Farewell then, Neil Armstrong.
Supposed to, though, isn't it?
There was a clip of your moonwalk as part of The Impossible Astronaut. Time Crash by Stephen Moffat. Tim Tennant's Doctor bumps into Peter Davison's Doctor and says how much he likes him. Then he uses his memory of the counter to put right the damage. He's about to raise the shields when he's hit by the Titanic. The Doctor uses the shields to force the Titanic out of the TARDIS. I did not think he would celebrate Martha leaving, but he's pushing the boat out. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian, once again. Marvellous work. And obviously, we look forward to listening to that Time Crash review again next week.
How true. Yes. Will
be on. I didn't hear any Time Crash review.
Oh, by the way, Kirby, how are your internet problems?
Yes, everything's fast again. We had some thunderstorms come through on Saturday, and things went down to a crawl. I could barely bring up any web pages on Saturday night.
Oh, dear. Well, it's funny because
a speed test last night brought me back to normal.
That's good, because I had actually forgotten, because obviously we were waiting for you to appear at 11 o'clock and I didn't sort of notice you come online. I thought, and now I've just thought if you had still hadn't appeared, I would have then, having seen this email from you, it would have reminded me why you weren't on the show. But you are, so I'll carry on. Right, we have some audio feedback. I'm going to have to change the word feedback to correspondences.
This is the Galactic Exchange. Space travel news. The starship Titanic 2, last reported on course to crash into the Isle of Wight, is unexpectedly back on course. Inquiries are still continuing into the disappearance of a mysterious passenger rumored to be involved in this incident. I hope you were paying attention. I'll be asking questions later. In other news, you have a message. Connecting you now.
Hi. Just time to record a quick audio feedback. On last week's podcast, discussing Voyage of the Damned, you mentioned the £1 million Mr. Copper had on his credit card.
Yes.
The doctor tells him that's worth 50 million credits. The cowboy suit-wearing Foon, in winning ticket for the trip, rang up a bill of 5,000 credits. According to her husband, it would take 20 years to pay that back. Using the doctor's rate of exchange, this vast bill Foon rang up of 5,000 credits works out at £100. I think someone got their figures wrong there. Hold on, yeah. I'm picking up a signal on my copy for MSN.
Calling Intergalactic Rescue. Can you hear me?
Is that Natasha? What are you doing?
I'm on an intergalactic cruise.
Funny, according to this readout, you're on the Isle of Wight. What happened? Did you fall out of an airlock?
Pushed, more like. How was I to know checking Facebook on my iPhone would freeze their guidance systems? The Titanic 2 was meant to be state-of-the-art technology. Now, I'm stuck here because the batteries in my vortex manipulator have gone flat.
Why don't you recharge the batteries?
Good idea. I'll try here. It looks like there's no one home.
How will you get in?
The door's not locked. I can plug my batteries in here. Now, let's have a look around. I can see some cold pizza on a plate, a chiming clock, and a computer with the top 30 Doctor Who podcasts on it.
Wait, I know where you are. I think you're in the studios where they record the 20 megabyte podcast.
Right. I can hear someone upstairs. I wonder who it could be.
If you're lucky, it's the Vogon come to read you some of his poetry.
And if I'm unlucky?
Have you heard of a fate worse than Deb?
You mean death?
I know what I said.
Uh-oh, they're coming down the stairs.
If I were you, I'd get out of there now.
Batteries charged. I'll just take a slice of this pizza, and I'm gone. Ah.
Look at the time. I'm due on the Doctor Who 2 Second TARDIS podcast. This is Lewis, the kid from the future, signing out.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Jim the Fish. One thing got me quite interested, because obviously this parody of a certain person that occasionally appears on this podcast.
Who could that
be? But the funny thing is, she doesn't really go on Facebook much anymore. She certainly never goes on MSN. I think she occasionally really? Uses Flickr and Twitter. I'll find out. Alicia!
Yes!
Alicia!
Yes!
I think Twitter has really gained in popularity.
If she doesn't answer, I'll phone her. Oh, blimey neck! You did answer. Right, stick them in your lug holes a sec. No, come here a minute. Nobody can see you. No, just for a sec. Come here. Come here and stick them in your lug holes for a sec. Have a question for you. Put them in your lug holes. And shut the door, because I don't want to hear the sound coming through from the other room.
Otherwise known as ears.
Yeah. Right, where's my microphone? Oh, sure it is.
Around
okay, there, this is going to make a few clicking noises while I attach it to Alicia.
Attach it to Alicia.
There we go, right. Now, Alicia, can you shut the door, please, because that's coming through. Just come
How
in
much does that cost?
20
orders,
quid.
Orders, get orders,
in.
Orders.
Get in, shut the door, temporarily. Right then, can you hear everybody?
Yes, we are.
Right. Now, we've just had
we're
some audio
speaking,
feedback.
So how can she hear us?
Yeah, what did she hear?
Right, so we just had some audio feedback from Jim of the Fish, who has your parody, which is Natasha, isn't it?
Yeah, but what's the point of me coming in here?
No, because we have some, because the parody of you is the fact that you eat lots of pizza and spend all your time on MSN and Facebook.
I don't!
Let's have an update. What did you have for lunch?
Pizza.
Snow!
You had snow for lunch. It's not even snow.
I had banana, an apple, sausage roll, and a
chocolate McAdoo.
Ooh. Can not stir it because I can hear that coming through the microphone.
I don't go on Facebook, I've never said. No, so what do you, 2 years ago.
So 2 years ago, is it? So what do you do instead of Facebook and Emerson in regards
Twitter.
To Twitter?
Right. I thought so.
So what do you use Facebook for?
Photos and talking to people.
So you still use it, but not anywhere near as much. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Now, while you're there, anybody else got any other questions in regards to Alicia's, what's your word, what's the word for it?
No, yeah. I've got something to ask.
Go on in.
Alicia, are you going to be watching Doctor Who next week?
I'm at a carnival.
So it's funny that you talked to her there. You talked to her there with your mouth full because that's how she's normally talking. So it's about, are you talking to her so she understands what you're saying?
I'm at a carnival. I can't. I'm at a carnival.
So you're not going to watch the repeat or the recording?
Yeah.
Well,
I can't watch it.
Well, I can't watch it next week because I'm recording a wedding, so I can't watch it next week either until I get home. What's the other question I was going to ask her? Oh, yes, I was going to ask her that question as well, actually.
Yeah.
So have you seen any of the previews?
Yes.
To, what do you think? Does it look good?
Yes, yeah. We
are. Pardon? Do you like Dalek stories?
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be right then. Well then, unless you want to stay, you're free to go.
I'm watching Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which one?
The old Spider-Man, not the one with Andrew Garfield in it.
No, Tobey Maguire's one.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. I like the second one. I reckon that's the best.
I haven't watched the second one.
I've seen one and two. I had number three on my phone.
The second one is great.
I had number three on my
old phone.
My phone, Nokia. I never got around to watching it because it was such a tiny screen. And you thought, what the blooming heck is the point having a full length film on such a tiny phone?
Yeah, but there was a on your iPad.
No, there was a facility you could plug it into the TV and play it from the TV, but it was so pixelated. Meanwhile, I've got some audio feedback.
No, I'm not happy.
Got some audio feedback.
She didn't get one.
Yes, my laptop's broken. He won't get me a new one.
But who broke your laptop?
Me.
Correct.
But you've got an iMac, two laptops, an iPad, and an iPhone 4S.
Correct. And they all seem to work,
no,
don't they? Even
it?
The one.
I've only got an iPhone 3GS. And
even
that's
the one.
It. That's it.
Only. I don't even
this
have a smartphone.
This is Matthew from North Alabama.
I don't have a smartphone.
Matthew's on.
Story. The Claws of Axos.
Bye.
This story comes at an interesting moment in the Pertwee era of Old Who. The more adult and serious first Pertwee season has given way to the more action-adventure-oriented stories that really were to follow it, starting with the 1971 series that introduces the Master, played by the late, great Roger Delgado. And The Claws of Axos comes right in the middle of that season in this moment of transition. The script by Bob Baker and Dave Martin, who make their Doctor Who writing debut here, bears this out quite well. This is a story about power and greed from the very first scene in Unit HQ, where Chin is trying to exert his power over the Brigadier, over the Doctor's lack of security clearance and file. From there, the Axonite brings out the worst in everyone, as Chin tries to get it for British gain, or the scientist Windsor, whose jealousy and anger towards the Doctor ends up killing him. And then there are the Axons themselves, who, through Axonite, are using the human's greed to bring about the Earth's destruction. It's a parable that's perhaps more relevant 41 years on from when this was made, but it's also used well in the action-adventure format that's coming to the fore at this time. So it's an interesting combination of the action-adventure format that's coming in and the more serious and issue-oriented stories that we got in the previous season. This story also features one of the more memorable monsters of this era, the Axons. While the gold makeup of the humanoid Axons is good, much of the success of the humanoid Axons is down to Bernard Holley playing both the lead Axon and as the voice of Axos. His performance, and really I think his voice, are very key to the success of the Axons working. And in fact, they are so important to the Axons that Big Finish, in fact, brought him back last year to both roles for the Colin Baker audio story, The Feast of Axos. Yeah. That isn't forgetting the lumbering, tentacled creatures that they become either, which, while perhaps not up to the standards of today's prosthetic work and CGI, nevertheless, I think work well in the context of the story. Indeed, the transition they go that goes through the various phases of the axons in part three is, for me, one of the most memorable moments from this era. This story isn't perfect, though. While the Axos spaceship itself, as a set, makes for a good contrast with the gray and gloomy Dungeness Beach and the Newton Power Complex, something about it doesn't quite work in that, for something that's supposed to be organic, it doesn't feel organic. It feels very plasticky, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Yeah. And there's also some rather odd sequences in Part 4 as well, such as the Doctor and Joe's escape through Axos, which I've seen compared to a Diglow nightmare elsewhere, and I can't help but agree with that assessment. The ending as well, with everyone rushing back to the very recently blown up nuclear reactor, is simply ludicrous when looked back upon. Yes. And it's indeed something that Barry Letts himself points out in the commentary. Perhaps these are just issues that are apparent from the perspective of decades on, but I still think that there are flaws nevertheless. Summing up, this is an okay story from this era. It's not the greatest Old Who story, or even the best Pertwee story. I would probably put that down to Inferno or the Demons. Having said that, and given the elements this story features of John Pertwee's Doctor, Unit, the Master, and an alien invasion, it's nevertheless quintessential Pertwee-era Doctor Who. Best wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matthew Kressel.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much, Matthew.
Yeah,
he's very good at that, you know.
Yes, thank you, Matthew.
Actually, no, I think we're blessed with the feedback in that we get different sort of contrasting things. We get, what's his name, Captain Kirk's brief sort of witty comments, and then we get a full-on sort of audio drama, and then we get a full-on review. So.
And also, we get some written feedback from Daniel or Dino. So Dean, it Dino, says Dean Daniel. Daniel Dino. But it says Dino. Anyway, it says, G'day. I don't know where, I wonder where he comes from. G'day, Adam, Mary, Kirby, Robert and Reese. Thanks for your warm welcome. He's talking about welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can all join. Please. Thanks for your warm welcome. Thought I would give some feedback. My opinions of the Claws of Axis. I'll let him off that one, because I'm not pedantic. being new to Who, this was my one of my first classics I have seen. It seemed a lot more hand-to-hand fighting. That's what
you're dropping out.
Am I?
Yeah, you're breaking up on us, Adam.
That's not my fault. That's your fault.
Don't give up, I know.
Of course, anybody with as many eye things in their house can possibly be the problem.
Well, no.
You're not overloading the circuits, Adam.
No, I'm only speaking to you through one. Anyway, as I was saying, the Third Doctor was too old. Glad they have cast younger ones now. I loved how the tentacles could blow up everything, even people crap me up every time. Good plot, still relevant to today with global warming, etc. I will be not visiting much over the coming weeks. Being a week behind, I'm scared of spoilers. Yeah, well, I suppose he means. Yeah, I see what he means. Yes, fair enough. So hopefully, I will be back to contribute in about 6 weeks. All the best, Dino. Does that mean you're getting it a week later than everyone else?
I haven't heard anything yet.
I thought I saw on Facebook that they were showing it that night.
Oh, I don't
same
know.
Night, not a week later.
I don't know, but thanks anyway.
Saw that it was going to be a week later in Australia.
It's great to get some brand new feedback from a new contributor, isn't it? So please contribute, everybody. Yeah. I love getting lots of feedback. It's great.
Yeah, well, I'm delighted because I know I posted on Facebook inviting all the people who who claim they only watch the new Who to watch some of this old and to contribute. So I'm glad somebody responded. Yeah.
Indeed.
Thank you, Daniel.
Excellent. Keep it up. Yeah. And don't worry about if your feedback's a week late as in regards to something we reviewed the week before. It doesn't matter, we just would like to hear from you. Which got me thinking.
We might have something to add.
Somebody talked about the charts. The charts are, I've done two charts this week. It's two for the price of one. Because I was looking, while compiling the charts, and it took me a little bit of time, and I got right to the end of the list for shows released this week, and only got to 25.
How come?
So it made me think about the ones in between that have still got feeds running, which don't release podcasts. So it got me to the Whatever Happened To charts. Yes, this is the Whatever Happened To Doctor Who Podcast Charts Top 20. Number 20, The Podcast of Evil, last released on September 2011. The Who Doctors Podcast, last released in August 2010 at number 19. Number 18, The Raggedy Podcast, last released October 2011. Number 17, The Doctor Who Newscast, last released April 2010. At number 16, James Wright's Unearthly Child Podcast, last released in September 2011. Maybe he's doing his GCSEs. Number 15, The Vorpcast, last released in April 2010. Number 14, Colin's Doctor Who Podcast Thingy, last released in December 2007. Yes, indeed.
What?
Number 13, Doctor Who New York, last released in February 2009. Number 12, Leela, last released in May 2008. Number 11, Timelines Productions, last released in January 2010. And into the top 10, number 10, Doctor Who, last released on March 2010. Number 9, Professor Howe, last released December 2011. Number 8, Doctor Who Radio, last released April 2008. And number 7, No, Not the Mind Probe, was last released in April. Sorry, June 2000, July even. July 2008. At number 6.
Not the Mind Probe!
Classic Doctor Who, which was last released in November 2007. Number 5, Infinity Doctors, was last released in December 2011. And number 4, Doctor Who Drama, and there's no feed for that at all. So they've got a list for a podcast, yet there are no podcasts. Number 3, GSPN TV, or .TV, which is a Doctor Who fan podcast, last released October 2011. Number 2, The Doctor Who Podcast by Luke Manning, last released in September 2007. That's quite interesting, that is called The Doctor Who Podcast. So obviously The Doctor Who Podcast nicked the name from Luke Manning. Copyright issues there. And at number 1, DW Doctor Who Podcast, last released June 2007. So those feeds are all there as you look in iTunes, but podcasts long gone. Whatever happened to them? Do you want to hear the real charts?
Well, having been topped by the Doctor Who podcast feed the last week, made me curious.
Yeah.
And looking into them, they've been around since 2008, but they don't put out very many. No. And I just listened to the most recent one, the one that did us, and it's an audio drama. It's not a review of anything, but it's an audio drama.
There are a few audio dramas out there, and I do intend to eventually get around to do one myself, but it's a lot of time involved in a casting, recording, editing. So at some point I'd like to do that. I have got a script, but it's just, long process. Anyway, right, so we get on with the charts. It's the top 25 this week, because like I say, that's all that was released. At number 25 is a re-entry for Articles of the Shadow Proclamation. At number 24, a re-entry for Under the Miniscope. At number 23, another re-entry, Travelling the Vortex. Number 22, up 8, which is odd considering it's only 25, Earth2.net Presents. At 21, up 7, Earth Station 1. At number 20, up 7, Tim's Take On. Number 19, yes? Number 19.
Take on. I said me.
You're right. Number 19, a re-entry for The Doctor's Companion. Number 18, up 7, Who is the Man? Number 17. Number 17, a re-entry for TARDIS Blend.
Can I stop you there?
Yes.
Can people please send in feedback for Reese's podcast too?
Yeah.
And a thank you to Adam Waddell who did.
Did?
There we go.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he sent in some feedback, so...
Thank you, Adam Waddell. But can I just say, in regards to Reese's podcast feedback, obviously listen to his show as well. Anyway, right.
Yes.
A very talented podcaster. I'm only saying that because he's not here, and I wouldn't say it if it was on the show. He's a very, very talented podcaster. And we're very lucky to have him on the show, but don't tell him I said that. Anyway, right, what are we up to? Number 17, re-entry, TARDIS Blend. Number 16, a re-entry for Blind Inspiration Cast. Number 15, up 4, Playing Doctor.
Blind Inspiration?
What is that? That sounds good.
I'm going to have to step away for about 3 minutes.
Okay.
Coffee.
Bye.
Number 14, up 3.
Coffee must be hitting home.
Up three, yeah. The Whostorian. Number 13, up three, the Casterbarus podcast. Number 12, up three, Doctor Who, Who's He? Number 11, a re-entry for the Crinoid podcast. Number 10, up two, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Number 9, down one, mostly harmless cutaway. Number 8, up one, the Pharos project. Number 7, non-mover for the Omega podcast. Number 6, a non-mover for the Memory Cheats. A re-entry at number 5, Impossible Podcasts. A non-mover at number 4, DWO, Whocast. A non-mover at number 3, they're all non-movers because it's a Tin Dog podcast, which indicates that a non-mover at number 2 would be Radio Free Scaro, and a re-entry at number 1, the Doctor Who podcast that's not done by Luke Manning.
That concludes. Or the feed.
Yeah, well, that's another one. The Doctor Who podcast feed is another... Oh, never mind, I'm not going to go down that road. Which brings us... not segues us, because the next thing we're going to talk about is the Claws of Axos!
Yay!
I've done some notes with my iPad. And that's another good thing about the iPad. I can actually do notes really easy with the iPad.
Excellent.
It's got a nice little keyboard. It sits on your lap nice, and it's very easy to watch and write notes. And store them. So, I'll be ready.
Is this advertisement ever going to end?
Well, about the Claws of Axos. Well,
no,
well,
about the
certain fruit product.
Never mind. Yeah. Moving on. Claws of Axos, which, of course, will make the fruit product grow very large. Claws of Axos, Episode 1. A cigar is on collision course with Earth.
Cigar?
That's a spaceship thing. Some pink crinoids writhe. That's pink and orange crinoids, really. Writhe around a little bit.
That's before they were crinoids.
Before, well, I know, but I just can't get it out of my mind. They look like
crinoids. I know, same here.
Supposedly panicking. Mr. Chin, a very pompous man, and he winds up the Doctor.
He should have been called Double Chin, though.
Yeah. Chin's a very Chinese-sounding name, I thought.
It is. I wonder about that.
Didn't they have a chin in Mind of Evil, which was just the story before it?
What, a Chinese character?
Yeah, what was that? You know how they had the Chinese woman in that? What was her name?
Well, she wouldn't have been called Mr. Chin. But there was
Chin Lee.
But also in Talons of Wing Chiang, was there a Mr. Chin in that? The little... I can't remember the mind.
Mr. Sin you're talking about.
Oh, Sin, yeah.
Mr. Sin, yeah.
Okay, thank you for your facts. Anyway.
You guys are great with these names.
Meanwhile, he's very pompous and he winds up the Doctor with England for the English type of attitude. Yeah? Never mind Wales, yeah. Northern Ireland and Scotland. We're part of England, by the way.
I know. Well, it's like you're a bit like Tasmania in Australia.
Yep, here comes Alicia. What are you doing?
Hello, Alicia.
Oh, you want
Spider-Man's finished.
Oh, well, microphone.
That means you can do the podcast.
Can you shut the door then?
Give me a chair.
I haven't got a chair.
Give me your chair.
No, I'm not giving you my chair. If you take that off that...
Give me your chair.
If you take that off that...
Give me your chair.
No, I can't give you my chair.
Sounds like my son, honestly.
Give me your chair.
Take that off that. No. Mary's only got about 20 minutes.
I've only got about 20 minutes.
It's not very heavy. It's
effort, though, is it?
Mind the dog.
What's that then?
That's just some stuff.
I've got
20
minutes left.
Well.
I need to go and get ready.
All right, good. Right,
so
I've made it.
Ow! That's my foot!
Well, can you help here? Because I've only got one hand. Don't lean it backwards. Lift it. Why not shoot? Ooh, are these your shoes?
Yeah, why?
Sorry, Magic. Don't lob them. Right, sit.
See,
sit.
Magic got on.
Sit.
See, look what's happened to my friend. Just what Mum does. Look what she's done to it. Look.
Yes.
Look!
It's very stylish.
Ooh. I can't see.
Right, there you are. Stick
I'm going to have to... Definitely gonna have to
restrain it. I'm gonna have to move that microphone because it's.
Well, neither can I, but I can't imagine it's anything she did.
There we go. Right, we're in business. Where to get up to? We've got.
Oh, you're talking about Stephen Clark. Doors
of Axos. Yes.
What?
Let's see if you can.
What happened to the new series?
You've knocked the microphone off. Stop shouting.
What? That's a David Tennant impersonation.
Why are you not watching the new series?
Because it hasn't started yet.
Will you even finish Matt Smith?
We've done the series 3.
Who's then Donut?
Well, that's the next thing we're going to talk about.
Has Alicia even seen this episode?
Why have we chosen it originally years ago?
Yeah, 2008 would have been or something like that.
What are you
looking for? Why have we chosen that?
I was just because Mary hadn't seen any classic stories with the master in, had you, Mary?
Yeah, but that's...
Well, not until recently.
I don't like that one.
Do you?
Right. Well, just so you know, I've been doing my homework.
I don't like it.
Oh, never mind, Alicia. I'll need to get
on. And I did watch The Demons, and I did watch The Mind of Evil.
No, don't touch it. My audio on it. Don't touch it.
No. It was 2 or 3 weeks ago when you and Kirby were recommending classic master episodes.
Anyway, back to this episode. We got up to the bit where...
Does Merlin start next week as well?
Mr. Chin is England for the
English. Merlin.
Joe introduces Bill Filer, smarmy American. Now, I know he's Canadian, but when I wrote
the
note, he was obviously American. A tramp goes...
From Washington. Actually, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You know, when this was in the outtakes, stuff that made it, when Joe first introduced you, said, this is Bill Washington instead of Bill Filer from Washington.
Oh, really?
This is Bill Washington.
Oh, excellent. But he was from Washington, but later on they said he was from Canada, so I'm getting confused here.
Well, where his character is from Washington. He's supposed to be American.
Mm. I think that's, no, because he's one of the CIA or whatever, so that's where he'd be based.
Yeah,
because I was talking about Mounties and stuff like that, wasn't it?
And you're right, he is smarmy looking, and I think it's a bad wig or something.
Yeah, well, let me speak, shut up, you. He's obviously borrowed the wig.
Speak.
Be quiet. He borrowed the wig from Neil Diamond. Right, now you can speak.
Yeah, it is his real hair. Katie Manning was saying in all the in the commentary that in a lot of cases the men had hair longer than hers at that time.
Well, they must have had it sprayed down awfully stiff because it never moved.
I know.
Raha, why did you do that?
Because you're fiddling with
stuff. Hair, what about Chin's eyebrows?
We have another eyebrow character.
Yeah, that's Eyebrow Man now.
Hey, can we go? Sorry, I stepped away for a few minutes, but can we go back to a? Can I point out something that once I tell you about it, you will never see the title sequence the same way again.
Yeah.
Was it upside down by any chance?
I don't know. Will it spoil it?
No, it won't.
Seem to restart.
When you're dealing with the the Pertwee era had two different title sequences.
Yes.
One was basically a color version of what had been happening with the first and second Doctor, and then it shifted it over. Excuse me.
It was actually recorded in black and white, and they colorized it.
Yeah. But and then they shifted over to what was going to be like the fourth Doctor's most famous one for a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, with this particular colorized one, If you go to 10 seconds into the title sequence, is everyone doing that?
Yeah. No,
because I don't have it.
I don't have it.
You could have warned me.
He did.
Yeah.
No, he didn't say he was going to have to play them. No, he didn't.
He did.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Wait,
no.
You don't play it while we're doing the recording?
I've written notes, Kirby.
Now
it's going to come out.
No, literally, he sent his whole
lot. I are useless, Time Lord.
This is your fault.
No. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Oh, God, what's happened here?
Why aren't you listening?
Because I'm trying to get this to come up.
You spent the whole morning writing notes about this when you could have been cleaning.
Why is it coming up?
You could have been cleaning.
This room's a mess.
Remember that. I'll be doing, Adam.
Kirby, while he's trying to get that up,
leaving me to look
after
her,
reporting very proudly that I had done my homework based on what you and Robert and Adam had recommended I watch for master episodes, and I have watched The Mind of Evil and I have watched The Demons.
Right.
Go back.
I have not seen either of those. Darn.
Oh, come on, really?
Now you've gone over.
Really? I'm amazed.
Muted that. Shut up, Alicia. Muted it and it started playing again.
Stop it. 10 seconds.
10 seconds stopped.
You have 10 seconds?
I've stopped it, yes.
You have Darth Vader.
Do we?
I know. I've always known that. That's what I said to my son.
Where's Darth Vader?
It looks like the outline of Darth Vader's helmet.
Yeah.
Does it?
I've always known that.
What do you reckon, Alicia? Do you reckon that looks like the outline of Darth Vader's helmet?
I'm glad Kirby, I'm glad somebody else noticed that, because I always said to my son about that.
Now, does that only happen with this first episode, or does it happen
with all the Pertwee
I'm afraid I don't see it either, so that was really worth it. Right then, back to my notes.
Maybe you aren't exactly on the spot with your DVD.
Was I on 10 seconds, Alicia?
Yes, you were.
It looks like the Darth Vader's helmet.
Miss
it.
Right, I'll have another go. What
just play it and you'll see it at around 9 to 10
seconds. I've got to pause it. Will you stop that?
Just before the head of Pertwee appears.
Stop. What's going on with the mute on this thing? I've muted it and it keeps sort of starting to play again. Right, let's take it back. Right.
There.
No, that's the beginning, right? Oh, it's right, I'm getting cross now. It keeps unmuting. I'm very cross. Right.
Shut up, Dad.
No, Alicia.
Oh, it happens again at 47 seconds.
Okay. Oh, 47 seconds, right, okay.
When it says episode 1.
And it's an outline of Darth Vader's helmet, is it?
Yes.
47 seconds. God, this is really. Where are my notes? I've got line 4, and now that's just taken. How long has this taken, Alicia?
Okay, I've got 15 minutes left, and you're all looking for Darth Vader.
Yeah, thank you, Mary.
There's a good use of time.
Very good point.
I didn't need to say that.
I didn't see it.
47 seconds, did you say?
47,
48. 40. Make your mind up. Right, 42.
Just right around there.
44, 45, 46, 47.
Title sequence. You can't miss it.
47 seconds. Yeah. It's we're actually into the episode.
The top of the screen sort of tapers in a bit.
Oh, I know what it is. Hang on, listen to me. I know what it is.
Don't listen to it.
Shut up, you. I think it's the fact that there's a pre-title. Oh, dear.
Never mind. Go back and look at it later. It's on my DVD that way.
But I think
it's on everyone. I've noticed that for ages, so you'll notice it if you look for it.
Anyway, Mary has done the music again, for God's sake. So let's get back to it.
Right, well, 10 seconds. It's the last time I'm going to go at this. 8, 9, 10. Nope, I just see John Pertwee. That's exactly what it was last time.
No, it's just before the head of Pertwee appears.
And don't look at Pertwee's head. Look at the outside of the...
Tell you what, I will take a screenshot and I will put it on the Facebook page. So there.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, I'll see what that's it. I've just done...
Oh, I see it!
What?
Very good.
Look. That's the outline of the helmet.
Oh.
There's the eyes. There's the mouth.
Okay, fair enough. I concede. But that was at number... That's 8 seconds, not 10. So... Sorry, Mary, the reason why we've been...
It looks like that you have lost your imagination, Father, dear.
Yeah. Can I get back to my notes, please?
No.
Where do we get up to? I got up to... Oh, yeah, Joe introduces Bill Filer, the smarmy American bloke. A tramp goes about his business on a very wintry-looking... Very wintry-looking beach.
That tramp, he makes me think of Monty Python.
Yes.
Yes.
And also the
fact are we on the first episode, or...?
Yes. We would normally be on the fourth one now.
That's the stunt man, Derek Ware, who I think his company was Havoc, wasn't it?
It was.
How long are we way through the first episode?
Well, as you keep interrupting me, we're only on the fourth line of my notes. Be quiet. so he goes about his business. The wintry looking beach. I just thought the film quality was terrible in this particular thing.
Anyway,
how many of these Doctor Who episodes start with some hapless, you know, stupid guy out in the middle of nowhere that gets, you know, is always the first victim?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Actually, if you think about it, because in Spearhead from Space, we got that man who finds a meteorite.
Yeah.
The same
Brian.
As three doctors.
Robert.
Remember the guy with the lightning?
Robert.
Right, Robert. And didn't the demon start that way too? I mean, it just seems like every time I watch an old episode, it's like, okay, here's the hapless guy that's going
to
be the first victim.
Oh, dear.
To be a thing, doesn't it?
Robert.
Yes, it does.
Robert.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah. If we went on trying to work out how many episodes had similar beginnings, we might...
I wasn't going to go through them all.
Oh, that's right then. Right. Can I continue?
No. Just mentioning a theme.
Anyway, it's a good point. But I must continue. Chin prepares to give the order to destroy the UFO, because at this point it's a UFO. The cigar. Poor Alicia, is that the dog?
Yes.
Grief.
No, it's Alicia.
Oh dear, I wouldn't say that. You'll get across. She is related to my mother, you know. The tramp finds some old tat, a fly tipped by a road, including a bike. Yeah, missiles are launched. Missiles launched.
I like his acting though with the bike.
Missiles launched. Will you stop it?
What time is the podcast finishing?
Well, we're done. A lot later than I actually intended to be.
You better be coming up to my thing.
What's your thing?
It's her thing.
Yeah, that's not your two.
It's her thing.
As I say, the missiles launch, but Chin delays.
Is it raining?
In ordering.
Abort,
if it is raining,
abort.
It won't be on. The destruct command. Oh, yeah, so the doctor sort of reminds
me. Is anybody finding these notes really, really boring?
Well, if you'd actually listen to them.
Goodness sake, man.
Yes? Goodness sake, what?
No, Pert, he says, for goodness sake, man, abort.
Yeah, so, and he goes, he says, destruct. Surely one destruct would have been good enough. There you go.
He's a Dalek.
Is he? Right. The tramp is dazzled by the light from the crash of the UFO. And he finds the giant cigar on a beach, and the tentacle shoots out from it and drags him inside.
In the beach?
Is this the one?
It was a beach, wasn't it?
Is this the one when the master goes to like a circusy thing?
No, that was the Terror of the Autons.
Terror of the Autons.
Good effort, though. The tramp is rejected by the aliens, so he basically kill him. Philo also finds the ship and is taken inside, and then UNIT arrive. The aliens decide that Philo is intelligent enough not to kill.
Why is Matson over with a crowd?
Don't know. Philo appears to be getting tortured, and the aliens try to hail Earth. Axos calling Earth. Request immediate assistance.
Axos calling Earth.
I just said that. Joe agrees very easily, be quiet, to stay behind.
No, I'm going
to
play it so I see if I know it.
Wait.
Play it on mute.
No. Oh. If I play it again, it won't be on mute.
It will be.
Alicia. Grief. It won't come up on mute. There's some problem with this particular thing. It doesn't mute it automatically. When I say it to mute, it doesn't retain the information to mute it. There you go. That's why I just... Where's mute? There we are, mute. I've muted it. shut up.
There's a mute point anyway.
Joe agrees very easily to stay behind when Benton announces that there's a body and that it's been found and... Oh, I must stay behind. Okay, I'll stay behind. But she doesn't, obviously. The body of the tramp collapses when Yates touches it, which I thought was quite a good effect.
Can I say something about that?
No, you can't. I've just said... No, go on.
And Kirby might be able to remind me. Did they say something about they had to white out the screen because the effect of the collapsing face was a bit... Yeah, and so they had to
It was too grotesque. It would frighten the children.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a shame because it looked really good up to that point.
I put the screenshot on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page.
Who's that?
Thank you.
Oh, what? Excellent.
Who's
and
that?
Also, didn't they do a better, with the mandrel in Nightmare of Eden when that collapsed? They sort of showed that full effect.
Yeah.
And that was only
Who's
a few
phone
years
ringing?
Later, really.
Someone's phone's ringing.
Yeah, it's my phone, yeah.
How's that, Mike? Moving on, the Doctor, Brigadier, and everybody are inside the Axon ship. The Doctor's mind is invaded by the Axons.
Ew, what's that?
That's a crinoid painted pink, stroke, right. Orange. Before it became a crinoid.
Let's see, why is that like a that looks really rubber.
It's a cigar.
Cigar?
Philo wakes up to find that the Master is also a prisoner on the Axon ship. The Axons appear like human. To the Doctor, Chin, and Brigadier.
He's
and
dead.
Else.
Do you know what an axon is, Adam?
That axon is the whole
part
shebang.
Of a nerve.
Is
it's part
you.
Of a nerve.
Yeah.
The Brigadier's dead.
The leader offers a gift to them, axonite. That's Bernard Colley, isn't it? The one who's
axos.
Is that have I got the name right, Kirby?
Bernard axonite. Holly.
Bernard Holly. Yeah. The Doctor is suspicious. Apparently, axonite can copy everything. Except fuel. The axons make a frog grow large by giving it axonite, and the process, of course, is reversible, he says.
I like how they say this is one of your food animals, is it not?
Yeah, well, it is if you're French.
The CSO is not all that great on that, unfortunately.
No, that's right. I didn't actually make a note of that. I did make a note of that because it happens all the time. Right, Joe is now inside the Axon ship and bumps into a pink crinoid, and she screams pathetically, and she does a lot of pathetic screaming in this episode.
Oh, it's her!
Episode 2.
Well, wait, before you go on, I'm mystified, again, because I've been watching some of these older episodes now. Joe, isn't she a member of UNIT?
She's, yes.
Yeah, so why is she always being treated like she's this helpless, screaming little thing that has to be protected?
She doesn't in most of her stories, to be fair, but in this one, she's not. She's a bit like the, what's she like? She's a bit like Mel from, you know, Sylvester McCoy's companion. She's a bit screaming. She's not really, that's not really Joe. She's not really herself in this episode. Anyway, the Doctor here.
Yes. If you remember in Terror of the Autons, remember when she's talking about how she got into UNIT because of her uncle or whatever?
Yes.
And, you know, she didn't actually pass all of, you know, she says, I took my A-levels or whatever, I can't remember. Yeah. She said she didn't say whether she passed or not. It was only because of her uncle that she got in, so she wasn't exactly a fully trained sort of person, was she? UNIT member.
Yeah, I suppose so. Fair enough.
Well, that helps to know that. I mean, because in this one anyway, they keep leaving her behind because they don't want her to come. I thought she was UNIT.
But the point is, I'm just saying that in other episodes that Joe is in, she's not as screamy and as scaredy cat as she is in this one.
I thought it was rather foolhardy that that all these important people step into the spaceship.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
good point. Anyway, onwards, episode 2. The Doctor hears Joe's screams, as do the Axons, and she is found and acts pathetically when she sees the Axon leader. Chin is very interested in the Axonite offer. Joe insists she heard Bill Filer's voice. The Master gets Filer to hit something that releases them from their binds. It's convenient. Yeah, it's convenient that the connection to the nerve center of the Axon ship was actually in the brig with them. The Doctor insists that Axonite's use is restricted to the laboratory so as they can examine it first. Filer is released, but the Master is retained. Obviously, Filer's released because I think they hypnotise him or done something to him, I don't know. The Brigadier forcibly takes the Axonite from Chin and they leave the ship. The regulars take over, the regular soldiers take over from the UNIT troops. Master is helping.
Is this the tram?
Yes, Team Piggott Smith. Yes, Alicia.
Why is it? Is the trap the Master?
No. The Master is helping the Axons with a view to taking over the Earth in exchange for the Doctor's death and his own freedom. Windsor.
They make a copy of Filer, and I don't understand the purpose of that.
No, I don't either, but we'll come to that in a minute. Windsor
By the way, the Master escapes the ship and zaps the UNIT soldier, that soldier is.
Yes.
It's Stuart Fell.
Yes, yeah.
Who did lots of stunts around that time, and he also taught Luke Skywalker and Dave Prowse how to do lightsaber sword fighting.
Excellent fact. Thank you, Kirby. Windsor is attempting to...
Can I just...
How long have you got, Kurt? I'm Mary. Mary, how long have you got?
5 minutes.
Oh, dear. Go on, then, Robert.
Regarding Stuart Fell, I think... Jeff Walker did a interview with him on the Goodies podcast.
Oh, excellent.
So that'd be worth checking out. He probably, absolutely. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm sure he's got some anecdotes about Doctor Who.
Absolutely, yes.
You know what? I really hate Classic Who.
Oh, shush. Go on.
It just occurred to me for a stuntman, that is a very appropriate name.
Yes. He played Alpha Centauri in later stories. Anyway, can I carry on?
It's very boring.
Windsor is attempting
to... Why is it snowing?
Be quiet. Windsor...
No! It wasn't snowing on the beach just a minute ago, so why is it snowing there?
I had time constraints, but it's a very good point. Thank you, Alicia. Windsor is attempting to initiate the ability to travel in time, and he wants to use Axonite to help. The Doctor thinks he can use Axonite to help get his TARDIS operational again. Yes. So they're all a bit greedy.
Ulterior motive.
Aren't they? Yes, I know. Yeah. Including the Doctor. The Master wants his TARDIS. Axons refuse, but allow him to have his laser gun for some strange reason. He immediately murders a Havoc stuntman dressed in UNIT uniform. The Axonite resists analysis.
Wasn't that a good stunt, though? It got zapped.
Is this the one when the Master's in a lighthouse?
No.
In the middle of the sea? No, not the lighthouse. It's a fort.
No, that's the Sea Devils.
Which is the Axonite
in the Isle of Wight, yes. The Axonite resists analysis, as the Doctor had predicted. The Master jumps on the back of a lorry just as it enters the tunnel. I thought it was a bit silly.
That was a good stunt, too.
He hypnotises the driver.
Yeah.
Delgado did not do that stunt, although that was him on top of the truck.
Yeah
indeed.
When he jumped.
Filer tries to kidnap the Doctor, but it's not the real Filer, and the real one turns up to have a fight with himself.
Oh, when he's on the lorry, is hypnotizing the unit soldier, the Master was established that he could control people that way, but they They tried not to use it too much because it really gave him too much power.
Yes.
That was mentioned in the commentary.
Good point.
Which it was Barry Letts was one of the people in the commentary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Why did they just look so sad? That was.
Never mind, Alicia. The fake Filer gets frazzled. The Master makes it to HQ. Tim Pigott-Smith combines the goodies to the lab.
Goodies.
Yes, I thought you might say that. The Master implements his evil plan. Sending a message.
Not his evil plan, no.
Sending a message to world government.
He never has evil plans.
The Doctor performs an experiment on the Axonite. As it hits the speed of light, the Axons go into emergency status as the nutrition cycle is activated too early. Some foam starts issuing from a container and Windsor dies.
That foam machine, don't they?
Mm. The Doctor realises that he has activated Axonite, endangering the whole world. An orange sleeping bag starts crawling across the floor.
Yes.
That was rubbish! Why is there just a yellow?
When Windsor dies, he also has that grotesque expansion thing that they also whited out not as quickly.
Okay. Well, that concludes episode 2 and obviously concludes Mary's participation in this podcast. So, obviously, we're going to do episode 3 and 4 in a minute. Mary, you have not had a lot of exposure to Classic Who, and of course, this is a master
episode. You're lucky!
A master episode you want to. What do you think, Mary? Go on, Mary. What do you think?
Well, as I've said repeatedly, I've done a little homework based on suggestions and watched some other Delgado master episodes. And my reaction here is that where he's a real threat in the other ones that I saw, the demons and the mind of evil. In this one, he seems almost comical. He's got a lot of funny lines, and he doesn't seem to be anything really but a puppet, either of the Axons or of the Doctor. You know, it's like he's being manipulated by everyone, but he himself never seems to have the upper hand.
Well, I just like this episode because of there's a point in which you think the Doctor is going to the dark side, and him and the Master sort of team up.
Right, when they form an alliance.
How can you think
maybe that's why Darth Vader's helmet is at the beginning.
No, but how can you think that? No,
but I enjoy this. I like that it goes on for several episodes, so that there's a lot more to the story than now when we watch New Who and everything is pretty much contained to one story.
Yeah.
Or, you know, one episode. Yeah. I did enjoy it.
Excellent. I'm glad you enjoyed it, because this always used to be one of my favourite stories. There's a few faults with it, but and rubbish bits. It flows really nicely, but I'll talk about that later. Yes?
The Doctor Who always has a happy ending. The Doctor always survives,
All right, thank you, Alicia.
I have to say goodbye, everybody. I gotta go.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Not quite sure whether we're recording on Sunday or Monday yet, but I'll let you know.
Bye!
All right, thanks. All right. Bye, Alicia.
Bye.
Bye.
Right, episode 3.
Can I go now?
If you want to. Do you want to? Sorry?
I want some more milk.
You want some milk?
Come here.
Adam, can you get Isabella to do the Red Dwarf theme?
She doesn't know the Red Dwarf theme.
Come here! Come here. They want to speak to you. Come here. Dad, tell her.
No, I'm not forcing her to do anything. Well, I'll sort you out with some more milk in a minute.
He won't do it, Isabella. He'll do the podcast.
Actually, I will have to start doing the dog's dinner now. So I'll leave you with Alicia and then we'll start on the
Alicia's going. Dinner. Alicia needs to go and get ready.
Well, I'll be back in a minute. I've just got to start the dog's dinners. I would do.
Maybe I should.
Kirby. Yeah, you should do it.
Right, hang on, Isabella. So, get out of the way, you.
But we're not done with it.
I'll do it myself.
Okay, go on, go.
Stop shouting.
So, let's say something then.
Something.
Yeah, you can say something. Something. Something.
How about something?
I don't know.
Speak into the microphone.
I don't know what to
Speak
say.
Speak into the microphone, Isabella. Can she hear us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, Isabella.
Hello.
Can you sing a song? Can you sing a song?
I don't know what song.
Think of one.
We'd like hearing things from you.
Sing a song.
Yeah.
Come on. Sing a song.
Come on.
Which? Come on.
I just don't know.
She doesn't know.
No, what about Twinkle Twinkle Little Star?
Okay.
Go on then, sing into the microphone.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above and with the sky, make a flame to the sky.
Do,
how I wonder what
you
are.
Yay!
Isabella, no, shush, yeah? You shush. Isabella, what do you think about the new Doctor Who?
Good.
Have you watched the preview? With the Daleks?
Exterminate!
Are you excited for it, Isabella?
Yes.
Right, thank you, Isabella. Can I get on now, please?
Aww.
Sorry, darling, but I need to get
Aww.
On. Thank you.
She wanted to be on.
No, no, we don't want... No, tell him we don't want... Tell him that we don't want him back. We don't want him back. No, go away.
Lift us up, because I can't get through. Isabella, can you get on
Isabella,
the
Isabella, stay.
Please, Alicia.
Don't go.
Well,
yeah,
we were doing well.
But
I need to get to that
well.
Seat, please. So can you get out of the way?
Dad,
you ruined it. Tell him he ruins it.
You ruined it.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry about that, but can I get through?
I can't. I want to get through.
Well, so do I. So if you get me move around there, I'll put your milk in the other room. Disconnect yourself or...
Adam?
Yes?
You know how you posted on the Facebook page Planet of the Giants Reconstructive Episodes 3 and 4 is well worth getting the DVD for?
Yes.
Rob Lansdowne wrote 11 minutes ago, I got very confused thinking it was a visual episode of the podcast. There you go. And it says, the actor who mimicked the Doctor should be squeezed into the 50th anniversary special.
He was good,
his voice,
wasn't
he? At least. An amazing impression.
Yeah, well, they should bring in... They should do some fifth... Oh, my God. I'll start again. First Doctor, Big Finish episodes with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be really
Excellent.
Cool. But I agree, he was very, very good. I highly recommend that disc simply for that reconstruction. And for once, Ian Levine deserves a bit of credit. Well done, oh. Ian Levine. What do you mean, oh?
Well, I know who he is, but why?
He directed the reconstruction. Bye, Alicia.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Bye, Alicia. What's the matter with you? Why are you shaking your head and being silly?
She Bye. Sung us a song, Adam.
Very nice it was too. Bye, Alicia. If you're going, goodbye. I'll carry on. Right, no. It's
no!
Episode 3.
Say goodbye.
I just said goodbye.
Goodbye.
Don't say goodbye, girl. Goodbye, girl.
Pink stroke orange crinoid tentacles.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, Alicia.
Love you.
Love you too.
See ya.
A pink stroke orange crinoid tentacle. Oh, sorry, I'll start again. A pink stroke orange crinoid tentacle. Oh, for God's sake! I'll start again. Right, what I'm trying to say in this particular line was that there was this tentacle. Well, no, it.
I love you, Dad!
A tentacle
And
shoot.
I think.
A tentacle.
I think you could explain also, Adam, about the crinoid reference. For those who may not understand it.
Remind me and I'll do that later. It's the same costumes, just painted green for the Seeds of Doom.
In the Seeds of Doom.
Yes.
Daddy, I've lost my nail varnish.
Oh, what a shame.
No, it's my favourite one. Help me.
I guess I'm going to have to look that up because I haven't seen the Seeds of Doom.
Because when the man changes over to... When the man changes into a crinoid, they use the Claws of Exos costume to and painted it green.
BBC so Recycling, yes. Right, can I start that episode
Recycling.
Three?
Oh, they did. Cool.
Can I, please? Can I? Huh? Can I? So basically this crinoid thing, tentacles, Phyla. That's basically what I was trying to say. The tentacle shoots out and hits Phyla and repurses.
Oh, I have seen that. That's
good too.
Okay.
Repersonalizes something or other. Joe and the Doctor are taken to Axos, so they go all sort of like hypnotized. Magic, get in here!
Are they taken to Axos or just in the ship?
Axos, that's the ship is called Axos, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Hmm. Okay. But they're all one, aren't they, anyway?
Yeah. Is that correct? So, the Brigadier.
Pardon me for having said that I had not seen Seeds of Doom. Of course I'd seen Seeds of Doom. I just did not associate the costume. It's been so long.
Yeah.
It's definitely the same costume.
It is, yes.
Many years later.
Indeed. Well, not that many.
Not the tent costume.
5 years.
The 5 years later. One.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, the Brigadier's pulling strings over the phone because he's trying to get back in charge. Bernard Holly, is it Holly?
Yes.
Yeah. Fobs Chin and Sir George off with a slight fib and manipulates them with a threat.
I do like the ping pong ball eyes on
it's very clever.
The golden accent.
Yeah, I think it's quite clever. Obviously couldn't see a thing while that was going on.
They had pinholes in there.
Oh, they
could see sort of.
I saw them. The Doctor and Joe are being held by tentacled arms. Phyla is basically people's arms with tentacle sleeves on, basically. Phyla is still alive, but in a coma. The image of the axon.
I didn't like his coma acting.
No, that's rubbish. I did mention this later on. The image of the axon, Bernard
danger,
Holly,
danger.
That Joe and the Doctor see is very cleverly realised. They're trying to give it a 3D look, but basically they're panning across and they pan back across with a different camera. I was quite interested the way they shot that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I like that.
It's innovative for the time. I did like that. Because they could have just basically shot with camera.
It was innovative, too.
Thank you. No, the Axon admits that Axonite is bait for human greed and that Earth will be sucked dry of its resources. Chin is annoyed to discover that the authority has been handed back to the Brigadier. The Doctor realises that Chin's desire to retain Axonite to Britain would be good for the whole world as a whole. Just as that happens, Chin is ordered on a Skype link from a pompous colleague to distribute worldwide. The Master gets to the Doctor's TARDIS. Phyla is delirious, but quite...
Shut up! Woof? Really? What is woof woof?
He's delirious, but quite articulately so. I mean, he's sort of rolling his head out, but he's able to speak his delirious words very, very clearly, as if he's not really delirious or anything like that. Rubbish. Anyway, the Doctor tries to tell... Not his fault, because he was obviously directed to do that. There you go. I hope he would be anyway, otherwise it's terrible acting. The Doctor tries to tell the Axons that he is not a Time Lord, and they torture him because they know full well he is.
I'm not a Time Lord.
Yeah. Joe is aged before his eyes. The Doctor panics, and he goes a bit pathetic at this point, the Doctor, when he sees Joe aging to death. Doctor panics and gives in to the Axon's desire
to
have
a space
time travel.
That was pretty cool with the use of the old lady to be Joe.
Yes.
And she also, Katie Manning says in the commentary, that the old lady that got to do that also had a scar on her upper lip, like hers.
Oh, brilliant. I didn't notice that. Well done. The Doctor only has to think
she
equations.
Fell off a bicycle. That's how she got that scar.
What? Katie Manning?
Katie Manning.
All right. As I was saying, the Doctor only has to think equations for the axons to be able to process them. Good thinking acting from the Doctor, or from John Pertwee.
But did he put his hand on the back of his neck?
The funny thing is, right, if you watch that bit where he's thinking the numbers without the audio and imagine he's farting.
Concentrated face.
Yeah. Just dub over somebody's got to do it on YouTube, haven't they? Just have that and just dub over fart sound.
Yeah.
I could do that myself, actually.
There's something for you to do on
BBC
your iPad,
probably get across.
Yeah. That's right.
that they can achieve it by using the additional power from the complex. Chin distributes the axonite. Finer
by
has
the way, that is really a nuclear complex.
Yes.
And it's amazing to me now. I mean, nowadays you would not be able to film anything like that at all.
Hmm.
No.
I just when I get to the end of episode 3, remind me to go and check on the dog's dinners. I don't want it to boil over. Anyway, Filer has woken up, but has to show his chest off. He's basically got pajama top, and he's got the top button drawn as far apart as it possibly could, just so as he could sew off the top half of his chest. I thought that was pathetic. while and informing, yeah,
you know when he shouts out for the nurse, somebody get a nurse, get me my clothes.
Yeah, well, that's what it was like.
And by the way, the actress who plays the nurse also played a unit secretary in the first episode.
Thank you.
The one with the long hair. Yeah.
Anyway, he got his chest off while informing the brigadier about the Axon's plans. A pink stroke orange crinoid is spotted by the brigadier as he goes and he goes off in pursuit, gun in hand. Isabella, could you do me a favour? I don't know. I haven't seen Pookie. Can you do me a favour, please?
Yeah.
Listen out for the dog's dinners. If you hear any hissing noises from the kitchen, call me.
Okay.
Thank you. Please? Thank you. Please pay attention as well.
I was just trying to find Pookie, but yeah. I don't know where he is.
Well, you've put him down somewhere. I'm sure he's around somewhere. He always disappears. Oh, yeah, he goes off in pursuit, gun in hand. One of the soldiers to die, I think he died anyway, we didn't actually see it, was Charlie Slater from EastEnders. But he also played like a guard in Image of the Fendal when he uttered my favourite Dr. Lyon of the episode, "I'll set the dog on you," which I still use to this day. obviously, because my dogs aren't particularly fierce, and I think it's quite ironic.
Yeah, but your dogs aren't exactly fierce.
That's why I use the line. I say to Isabella, if you don't behave yourself, I'll set the dogs on you, because she knows full well the dogs will not do anything.
You'll be licked to death.
Yeah. Sir George moans about an obsolete police box being in the reactor room. The master tries to get the TARDIS moving. He leaves the TARDIS, but is spotted by the Brigadier and Yates. They catch him. The master
Can I mention something about... This is the first time we've seen the interior of the TARDIS since War Games.
Indeed, but I'll come to that in a minute.
Are you sure? I think we saw it very briefly in one a little bit earlier. I'll go and look at the list. But you notice it's still painted. It's still painted.
Yes, yeah, green. Brain, yeah.
The console is.
In the black and white era, they had to paint things that were supposed to be white, green.
They changed the rotor in the middle, didn't they? But not the outer bit. Anyway, can I continue? Sorry, they do. I haven't seen the interior of the TARDIS itself, though, have we? For a while.
No,
we just said that.
Yeah, that. Sorry. Oh, because you said about it being painted green. Are you talking about the actual interior? The console, yeah. I'm talking about the actual the studio.
Yeah, we couldn't have seen inside it. They didn't show it in Spearhead from Space or Silurians.
We just saw
the console removed.
In Colony in Space.
Right. We saw the console itself in Inferno.
Yeah.
But it
not
was
inside the tab.
Yeah, but that was Hartnell's console in Inferno.
It's still the same console.
Same console, yeah.
No, but the actual center column. Is different. The one that was in Colony was Hartnell's. That was the whole of the console in Hartnell's. In Inferno was Hartnell's. The last one we saw, Hartnell's complete console.
You call me pedantic.
I'm just saying.
Mr. Pedantic.
At least when it goes, when the time rotor goes up and down, it still wobbles nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the master bargains his freedom with the brigadier in exchange for help to avert a large bang. Filer turns up, points a gun at the master, but his actions are vetoed by the brigadier. The power failure allows the doctor to escape his binding. He rescues Joe. The master tells the brigadier that Joe and the doctor will die as Axos is destroyed, because obviously he's helping them now. Yeah. He's helping
One thing I always thought was strange with this one is it takes them so little time to get from the Axon ship over to the power complex. It's like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you can see the power complex from the Axon ship, but it should take like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're running back and forth very quickly.
Very good point. I hadn't noticed that one, but it's a very, very, very good point. I'm now, before we start episode 4, because I did ask you to remind me, but you didn't.
Yeah,
I'm just
going to
check on the dog's dinner. I'll be back.
Go deal with the dog's dinner.
Yeah. What can we say about Adam now that he's gone?
I noticed with the TARDIS that it's nicely battered. The paint is peeling off, and it's pieces.
It's a bit like the exterior, though, as well. It's looking pretty knackered as well.
That's what I'm talking about. Because they just built... They're working on the interior, but the exterior is just awful.
Yeah, but that was like that 3PZero, wasn't it?
Another reminder to follow, because at the end of this particular episode 4 review or notes. Are we ready? Episode 4. Joe's pathetic... do you mind? Naughty boy.
Oh.
Magic star, get your feet
out. Ouch.
Joe's pathetic I can't screams seem to be replayed. The same
on Katie?
Be quiet. But the same the way she says it sounds like it's just a loop. They've repeated the same.
I can't.
I had been listening to the commentary for most of the episodes that I had to go to bed before I was able to listen to the commentary for this one. Earlier in one of the commentaries for like episode 2, she said that she had some interesting things to say during the commentary for that scene where they're wandering around bumping into the walls and stuff. Robert, what did she say?
Didn't she get groped by one of the hands?
That's right. She got groped by one of the hands.
Yeah.
All right. Can I continue, please? Yeah, so the doctor makes her do maths to take mind off the control of the axons. They escape. The master gloats and expects to be released. The Brigadier is not convinced that he's actually done the job he said he was going to do, because he hasn't seen the doctor or Joe any evidence to prove that he's done what he said he was going to do. Power seems to have been fed back into the reactor. Sir George decides to be a bit of a martyr while he tries to avert the oncoming disaster. He appears to have done it. That's a nice
flip over the handrail.
I love that. That's why I showed my son. I said, look at that stunt. Looked pretty impressive, didn't it?
It did.
But that guy, what was the idea behind wearing him, like that tea towel on his head kind of thing?
Who knows?
To be doing much. And some gardening gloves.
I absolutely have no idea.
It looked good, I guess.
Anyway. The master tries to escape but bumps into the doctor. The doctor thinks he's going somewhere. The doctor thinks he can defeat the axons, but needs the master's help. Yates sets up a video camera on a wonky tripod.
That was one thing that I noticed, is that it's sitting there and it's crooked by a couple of degrees, and yet when the rig turns it on, it's perfectly straight.
Yeah. Glad you noticed I noticed.
Did Delgado do his line about... you know, when they're talking about the rising power levels, he says, take the usual safety precautions, sticky tape on the windows.
Yes. which is consistent to, you can imagine John Sim's master saying that. When I say John Sim's, Sim as in his. He's not called John Sims. So I know pedantic people are writing, he's called John Sim. Sims's master, yeah. No, that'd be Sims. Mm. Oh, never mind. Anyway, it says here, Phyla turns out to be Canadian, as revealed in Small Talk with Joe, a.k.a. padding. Really the only proper padding in this story, to be fair. And I do say, quite a lot I've discovered recently.
It's very James Bondy, though, this sort of episode with all the action, though, isn't it?
It is. I like it. The Time Lords go about their business. I mean Time Lords as in Master and Doctor. Doctor wants the Master to fix the TARDIS. Hang on, let me finish the sentence. Fix the TARDIS so they can both escape Earth. Now you can speak.
That one thing very interesting about this reconstructed control room is I believe this is the only story, where when the doors open, you see a corridor outside of the control room still with the roundels instead of it being implied that you've just got the doors going outside right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Like they did in the Davison era, they always sort of had something you go through until you get to the outer.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Mm. Yeah.
A bit like that.
I've just seen the stunt you spoke about when he sort of vaults over the bar. It is pretty impressive, I have to say. Hardiman.
Probably.
Sir George Hardiman.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's who it was that just did the. Never mind.
What was else he in?
Oh, he's been in loads. He was in Eight and a Half Hot Mum.
Oh, no, I know. He was in Secret Army, wasn't he?
That's right. The Time Lords go about. I've done that bit. That was your fault. The Doctor explains his exile to the Master. The Master accepts the Doctor's offer of a sort of alliance. Benton runs over some pink-orange crinoids in his Land Rover. he and Yates have a battle with them, and they jump out of the moving Land Rover after Yates sets off a grenade.
And it's a different Land Rover, the one that they explode versus the one that they are driving.
Says a true pedant. The Doctor's seen...
really a person, by the way. It was just okay.
Yes. The Doctor seems to have gone bad as he says goodbye to his friends. He goes, goodbye, Joe. I shall miss you. Which is quite funny.
Yeah.
The TARDIS dematerialises for the first time since the War Games and the first time with John Pertwee.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. The Doctor has a proposition for the Axons. He wants to join forces against the High Council of the Time Lords. Axos will become a TARDIS. A polystyrene door starts to melt. A very thin
polystyrene
door.
Yes, do you know how they did that?
By putting some sort
acetone.
Acetone. They just sprayed acetone on it from the outside.
They did that for the Exelon City as well.
And they also did that, as far as I know, in the caves of Androzani. Yeah. The Doctor has set Axos into a time loop. The Master tells the Axons, because he's a bit of a snitch, the Doctor is committing suicide and taking Axos with him, basically. He's trying to save the Earth as he normally does. A battle begins at the reactor. Joe is pathetic, holding her head and going, Yes?
Big mean.
It's not Katie Manning, it's the character she's playing. Pathetic. She's not good she's not portrayed well in this story. Axos dematerialises, as do the pink stroke orange crinoids, just in the nick of time. The Doctor is... what?
Your pink stroke orange crinoids. Sorry.
The Doctor is trapped in the TARDIS with the crinoids. They're giving him a nice cuddle. But he breaks out of the time loop. Everyone runs for cover. The Doctor steps out of the TARDIS into the evacuated reactor room. He checks the readings on a dial. Some polystyrene falls from above, presumably ceiling tiles, because there's polystyrene sometimes in those. He gets back into the TARDIS.
Probably a asbestos in those days.
Yeah, it could be. Unit watched the
In an extension that was built out the back of my parents' house... there was polystyrene in the wall, in the ceiling, mm-hmm. as my dad burnt it by putting in a higher wattage bulb that actually melted the polystyrene.
Yes, we used to have polystyrene. Yeah. In fact, my mother and father-in-law still have polystyrene in ceiling tiles.
This was made in the late 80s, so...
Yes. What was?
Yeah.
What was made in the late 80s?
The polystyrene ceiling.
Oh, right. There's from the 70s. So the TARDIS dematerialised. The Doctor emerges and says, well, this is a fine welcoming committee, I must say. Have I jumped?
No.
Yeah, see, because they watch the explosion from a safe distance. But the Doctor struggles to dematerialise the TARDIS.
I did like the staging of the camera angle showing the TARDIS and then that beam crossing the screen and the Doctor. That's a nice shot.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Absolutely. The Doctor emerges, says, well, this is a fine welcome committee, I must say. He admits the Time Lords have programmed the TARDIS to always return to Earth. He is a galactic yo-yo.
But he goes to another planet in Colony in Space next week.
He does. That's why they obviously set this up for that. Now, what I say about this, I mean, I got this episode on video a few years ago, obviously, and it was the first time I'd been able to see it, and when I watched it, I really did like it. And I still do like it. I know it's got its faults, but I just like the fact you see Doctor and the Master, their TARDISes. I'd always like it when you see the Master's TARDIS, the Doctor's TARDIS, as you do in the Colony in Space later on. And that's when you see all of Hartnell, Stroke, Troughton's TARDIS set for the last time, because you see that the blown up photo, which was the black drop at one point, which you see mostly in Troughton's TARDIS. And yes. So I like these ones because of that, and them being Time Lords and trying.
Not
to...
Not only that, you've got the UNIT family as well, which is a typical.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was just a really action packed. Yeah. It didn't really. There weren't many lulls in it. There were a couple of irritating characters like Filer and that, and Mr. Chin, very irritating character. But they're but they're meant to be. And it flows. I watched this. I was quite tired last night, but I managed to watch two episodes of this last night, so I wasn't bored by it.
I watched it all in one go.
I could have watched it all in one go, but I thought I'd better get to bed at 12:30 because Deb was going to get me at 5:30. Because it was a story that kept me engaged, I was able to watch it. And that's what I can say about this one. It's an engaging, action-packed, enjoyable romp of a story, and I think it's one of the best of John Pertwee's era.
Yep.
I disagree.
Oops. Yeah, go on.
Why?
I had a lot of trouble getting into watching this earlier in the week. In fact, I fell asleep twice while watching it.
Seems to happen a lot with you, Kirby.
No. And I had problems with it the first time, making it through the first time. Then I watched it again a couple of days ago, and I really enjoyed it.
Hey!
Excellent.
There was something about watching it the first time. It did not grab me, but then maybe having seen it through once helped. In no way is one of my favorite Pertwee at all. Well, I'm looking at that season's list here, season 8, series 8. Unfortunately,
just
I've
at the
not
Mind of Evil.
I've not seen any of those except for Clause of Access. I need to I need to get some of those. Looking back at other Pertwee era ones, and to me, Inferno is just fantastic. And I also
When did you watch Inferno, Kirby? How long ago would you have watched?
A month or two ago. I watched it for the first time? I watched it right after,
six or seven episodes, isn't it?
John died. I watched it that evening. Started watching it because to kind of. I like Spearhead. I like Inferno's great, and then I really like Time Warrior, of course.
Yeah,
I do too. Yeah, but it does make me wonder though, because me and Adam virtually grew up on Doctor Who. I mean, I know you didn't really get into Doctor Who until Davison, but you'd watched it before, Adam. I'm talking about Pertwee, for example.
I can smell something from the kitchen. You carry on talking, sorry.
But, you haven't really seen all that Pertwee, have you, Kev?
No, I've not seen a lot of Pertwee.
But I'm just wondering,
repeat what you said about Tom Baker.
You've seen more of Tom Baker, haven't you?
Yes. Tom Baker, my fourth doctor, is my doctor.
Because I always sort of wonder. I mean, I guess it's like me when the only doctors I'd seen were really the John Pertwee and Tom Baker, and I guess when I started really sort of paying attention to Doctor Who, so I'd sort of seen that, and then grew up with the others, you know, Davison and Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy, etc. But it does make me. I sort of get the idea, like, when I got the chance to go back and look at Troughton episodes and Hartnell episodes, it does take a while to get used to them, so I'm wondering if whether that's, like, the same feeling you get.
No, because even though the fourth doctor was my doctor, I was buying Target novelizations left and right, and I bought many of these Pertwee, Third Doctor stories, and read them three and four times over.
I did that.
Although I have to admit, the first Third Doctor story I ever saw was The Three Doctors. I saw it at a convention.
Yeah.
And where we, a whole bunch of us brought our newfangled VCRs and hooked them up in series and were copying videotapes left and right.
Yeah. So, yes, as people did back in the day. Yeah. But, so that was really your first Pertwee story then.
That was my first Pertwee story to see, yes. That convention was also the first time I ever saw Blake 7 and Red Dwarf.
Get them all at once.
Absolutely. That's all I did. That's also when I got my not quite right Fourth Doctor scarf, which I'm embarrassed to wear to conventions because
But people always pick on that, right? But people always pick on that, won't they? They say, oh, that's not quite the right colors or whatever.
Well, back in those days, they did. The very fact that I had a 17-foot-long scarf was real, and it was multicolored.
Is it very cold where you live, Kirby?
Huh?
Do people say, oh, are you feeling very cold, Kirby? You need such a long scarf.
I would always get people saying, what was the actress who got killed by her scarf?
I don't know.
There was an actress who was in a car, a convertible, and she got killed.
Ooh.
Find her. I'll have it in just a second.
Is this an actor from the 60s, was it, or 50s?
Hang on.
Help is on the way. Jennifer
Duncan.
Who?
She was a dancer, sorry. She was considered by many to be the creator of modern dance. She was actually killed in 1927, but her fondness for flowing scarves was the cause of her death in an automobile accident in France when she was a passenger in a car and her silk scarf draped around her neck became entangled around the open spoked wheels and rear axle, breaking her neck.
Oh.
But back when I first got the scarf.
How the hell would that have happened? My goodness.
Back when I first got the scarf, I was always having people say, don't do an Isadora Duncan.
But it was more well known back, people associated her
back in the 80s when I got the scarf in the first place. There's pictures of me with the scarf, but again, I will not wear it to conventions.
For the fear of being picked on.
So, yeah, absolutely. I can
by your fellow pedantic
people. Can you imagine Matthew if he were to see my scarf?
Yeah, that's not the right color. How dare you call yourself a Doctor Who fan with that scarf? But what the hell? I mean, it's like even I watched that clip of from Criminal Minds when they're doing cosplaying, and some of the comments were. And somebody wrote a comment exactly saying, that's not a correct scarf. So people say it. Just, you know, when you said that, that just reminded me of that. So, oh well, not to worry. I was in Perth today and I was checking out the Doctor Who stuff at the ABC shops and they don't have very much, but you know, there was a Peter Davison dressed in, you know, post-regeneration from Tom Baker. You know, he's wearing Tom Baker's outfit.
Yeah.
And it's $40 for just that figure.
You mean a cardboard stand-up?
Can you say that again? Which?
No. The six-inch figures, are they six-inch?
Five-inch, yeah.
I can't remember.
Oh, my.
$40.
I've got that figure.
You know, the Davison one in post-regeneration.
Yeah, in Tom Baker's outfit. I've got that figure.
Yeah.
Brand new in box. Yeah.
How much did you get it for?
Very good question. I can't remember. I wish I could remember. I think I got it $40. I think I got it its normal price from Forbidden Planet. It was limited. There was limited amount of available, and I think I bought it at Forbidden Planet for its normal price, which would have been about around a tenner.
Oh, but, so we're paying three times as much
no,
as that.
No, because they're rare. They're quite expensive. Yeah.
But the Tom Baker and Scaroth.
Yeah.
You know, that double pack.
Yeah.
That's only $30.
Oh.
For the two figures. And I saw the nice Revelation of the Daleks box set as well, with the two Daleks, Davros and Colin Baker with his cloak on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. That's $80, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of these items, it's like when before the 11 Doctors set came out, figures.
Oh, and I got one of the Teletubby Daggers.
Daggigs. Daggigs, new monster in Doctor Who. Do you remember when the 11 Doctors 5-inch Sigga set came out? If you wanted to buy a figure of the first or second Doctors, you'd have to pay four times the actual original shop price. But I've just gone on eBay and found a Doctor Who Classic 5th Doctor Regeneration toy in mint condition, still in box, £12.99.
Huh.
So I think you need. Oh, but there's another one there. But that's no bid. So that's obviously an auction. So that'll go up. They list it for buy it now, £36. There's a buy it now one here for £24. So there's one here about buy it now for £15 buy it now. So that's not too bad. Mm. There's one here that on auction for 99p, but that's bound to go up. And there's one out of its box, buy it now for £11.99 plus £1.95 postage plus whatever it costs to send to Australia. So, yeah, it's varying prices on that.
Do you keep most of yours boxed, do you?
I've kept that one boxed, and I've got the one of the sixth Doctor pre-regeneration, post-regeneration. You know, so basically it's Colin Baker Doctor wearing Peter Davison's Caves of Androzani outfit.
Oh, yeah,
that's
still
in its box, I'll keep those two side by side because they're relevant, but... a couple of my favourite figures, those two. To be fair.
Special, yeah.
Anyway, shall we get back to the subject in hand? Has everybody mentioned or finished talking about the Claws of Axos?
No, I just want to say, I'm with you, Adam, that I really enjoy it because it's, for all of the things that you mentioned. Yeah. It's a typical sort of Pertwee one that I can sort of stands out, and very psychedelic as well. Like, people are... very LSD type of imagery.
And like I said, I like it better upon second viewing.
Yeah.
I will go back and watch it again.
And I liked it on first viewing, but I did like it better on second viewing as well. So yes, I'll go along with that, Kirby, to a certain extent. Right then, so we'll have a look at a little bit of what's going on the news page, because there's quite a lot to be reported. I'm not going to talk about all of it. Ambassadors of Death, I've been waiting to come out for ages.
Well,
it's coming out on the 1st of October, so I'm really looking forward to that one.
That's in the UK, though.
Yeah.
We have to wait over here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when it will be for us.
But
the last one we had here was The Greatest Show in the Galaxy. So.
Yeah. The 11th Hour Doctor Who episode has finally lost its position as the most accessed programme on the BBC iPlayer. What's been knocked off then? Who's knocked it off?
Doctor Who is a week later here, 8th of September, 7:30 PM.
Trying to see what knocked off the top position. Nope, can't see what's knocked off. Never mind. Doctor Adventures are still going. Number 283 has come out. Yes.
No. Okay. Just saw something.
Companion Chronicle offer they're doing at Big Finish, where you can have £15 for four Companion Chronicles. It was £35.96. That's a good offer.
They do good stuff too.
Character bringing out some talking Dalek figures, probably to coincide with the Asylum of the Daleks.
They look nice, don't they?
On Saturday. There's a jigsaw puzzle coming out of classic Doctor Who things, and
that looks like a big complicated.
Oh, looks like is Pond Life out already?
Yes.
Is it?
But that's later in the news.
This jigsaw puzzle, actually, it's old and new Doctor Who because it's got Ainley and a silent on it. So there we go. Apparently,
and old Anthony Ainley does.
Apparently, Stephen Moffat says that he's considering if he's still around to do Doctor Who after Matt Smith finishes. casting a female in the role. This has been said by countless Doctor Who producers over the years.
They always do, don't they?
Yeah, but she'd have to be blimmin' good to take on a role like that. And I'm sure that whoever does cast the woman in the role will cast the correct actor. And also because we have, you'll get a situation where sexist people will stop watching Doctor Who.
Like people who stop.
The sonic screwdriver has three settings.
Yes, thank you for that, Kirby. Right, Neil Armstrong has passed away. Has to be mentioned because one of the most legendary people to walk the planet Earth or the planet Moon. I mean, no one is going to ever forget him.
Allegedly.
Never mind allegedly.
Those conspiracies.
Never mind allegedly. He'll go down as one of the most important men in history until time stops. Amazing. And very sad. 1930 to 2012. I said long innings, but still a sad parting. You know, it's amazing to think when you see the old footage.
Those doctors, though, who were doing the operation.
Yeah. Pardon? What did you say?
You know how he had a heart operation?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have hated being the doctors who...
Yeah, the fact that he passed away?
Yeah.
You know, and obviously there's a tie-in to Doctor Who in relation to the first episodes of the last series of Doctor Who, obviously with the Doctor being...
Peter Grace's birthday today.
Yeah, thank you for that.
He's 66, and also Saran Jones, who played Idris.
I'm still on Neil Armstrong at the moment.
He's 34 today.
I'm just thinking that the photos you see of Neil Armstrong when he was, you know, in his prime as an astronaut, it's hard to believe that those pictures were taken just after I was born, such a long time ago. And it's amazing to think that he was so old, and you know, you think of the fit sort of. He must have been so fit to be an astronaut, and it comes to us all. But yeah, they're very sad. Neil Armstrong. What else we got here? John Barrowman has popped up in a few news articles.
I was just thinking Neil Armstrong.
Yes,
this sort of links with the last series. The the first.
I said that. I said that just a minute ago.
Sorry.
You weren't listening, were you?
No. I was probably reading, that's why. Sorry, Adam.
John Barrowman has done a documentary thing on the Return of Dallas. So I haven't seen that yet. I wasn't able to record it because it clashed with other programs at the time, but it's on Channel 4's online, on-demand service. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And also looking forward to seeing Dallas, because I used to like Dallas when it was on. What else we got here? That's about it, really. That's news.
You got the thing that Kirby mentioned, Pond Life.
Please, yes. Sorry, Kirby. Please mention Pond Life while I try and find something else to talk about.
Well, the first episode of Pond Life is now posted.
Yeah.
I will put it over onto the. Huh? Oh, it's the web series prequels to the upcoming Asylum of the Daleks.
Excellent.
And of course they've released a Rory figure. A Rory action figure is finally.
Yes, I saw that.
And about time too. Just as he's finishing with Doctor Who.
You wearing an anorak or something?
Yeah, it's like a what do they call those things? Body jackets or something. I don't know. It looks a bit like a
hoodie.
Looks like a life jacket.
I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah.
I don't remember.
Looking forward, I will be getting that figure because I think it's going to be rare at some point, but I get it anyway because I want a Rory. I've wanted a Rory for a long time, not in that way.
you want to play with Rory, do you?
Not play. I just want it displayed among my.
Get him out of his box and play with him.
No, I just want to display it among my Doctor Who figures, my Doctor Who corner over in the front room.
I only have an ood.
Do you? Right. Right, eBay, the most expensive item listed on eBay at the moment is for £1,250, and it's Doctor Who All 11 Actors signed autographs. No bids for that, because these days people generally don't have over £1,000 to spend on Doctor Who memorabilia. But the item that's most expensive with bids against it is a Doctor Who pinball machine. But that is £837. Probably got sold.
What happened to that? And what happened to that Doctor Who Century 21 TV comic thing?
I would guess that either they realise that nobody's going to buy it, which is the most likely scenario, or somebody bought it, but probably for a bit less money. The second item in, in the list for three bids against it at £625 is Doctor Who original screen use prop for Greatest Show in the Galaxy. Basically, it's one of those, the three, no, the gods.
That's very topical, seeing as the DVDs come out.
And quite expensive at £625 and a penny. That's only got, and it's got 6 days left to go, so that could go up quite astonishingly. And the final item, third item on the list, £535 with bids against it, Doctor Who original screen used prop gas mask. What the hell is? Sorry, I'm just gonna have a.
Are you my mummy?
Daleks, it says. Why does it say Daleks? It's not a Dalek thing. This is authentic screen use prop from the classic 1984 story Resurrection of the Daleks. There we go.
There you go.
Yes. See? Fair enough. My stand corrected. I generally need to be. There are some more items here actually on the same page. Doctor Original screen use prop TARDIS Roundel. I'd like one of those. Guess how much that is?
I don't know.
£510. Somebody must have have raided an old Doctor Who exhibition here, because the next item, Doctor Who original prop Robots of Death mask, £510.
Oh, I'd love that. That would be one of my favourite things.
I have won that Euro Millions last week. Doctor Who original screen use prop for Terminus. That's, you know, the strange sort of monster.
This is outfit.
No, there was a monster in Terminus. £500, one bid for that.
The guard dog.
Is there some sort of charity thing going on here? Because no bids for this one. Doctor Who original prop, Fear Her, the street sign, Dame Kelly Holmes Close. £500. And there's loads of them here.
Well, who's selling them? Why don't you take a look?
Yeah, who's the seller?
I will do, because this is astounding. The seller is Tinks Westerman.
And who are they?
Like BBC employee.
the warehouse has been raided. They've got the pinball machine, the roundel, the radio, TARDIS tuner. The original prop from Terminus, original prop cyber controller from Tomb of the Cybermen. Surprisingly, only listed at £300. The head of Tom Baker to 200. No, Tom Baker. So sat from that range, £250. And original prop from Android Atara for £500. And the Happiness Patrol mask for £300.
No, Adam, you got that wrong again.
Yeah.
What's
wrong with you?
What did I say?
Yeah. What patrol is it?
Huh? Penis Patrol.
Yep. There we go.
Thank you. So that, yeah, right. So I'm thinking that might rather conclude a rather more interesting eBay than usual this week.
Yeah.
I'm still looking for that roundel.
I'm just a bit. Are you? Well, look for, as I said, the seller. Oh, somebody's got here. Doctor Who prop Seventh Doctor Broly and jumper in mint condition. It's the question mark jumper. Is it? And that's £350. Somebody's.
Is that a genuine one, though?
Yeah. Well, if it's not genuine, it's a good enough
replica. Yeah.
Because I know Alistair Pearson used to have one of these jumpers, and I wore it once. Thingamajigs. On Thingamajigs with a Z on the end is the seller on that one. And you're looking for the roundel one.
I found it.
You found it. Cool. And of course, the Doctor Who original screen use prop, which is the helmet from looks like Resurrection of the Daleks. Neutron Flare.
Oz. Those aren't those silly Dalek-looking heads.
Yeah, the one that had the basically a helmet that looks like the top of a Dalek. Yeah,
that looked absolutely stupid.
It did. But that is from Resurrection of the Dalek. It's an authentic screen prop, and that's listed.
It's a pretty good story, but those hats.
£100. Right. So that's it then. That's it. Our last episode before the new series starts. Now, I'm not quite sure when we're recording next week, because I assume it could be Sunday, but I'm not sure how it ties up with Mary's her shifts that she does. So if it's okay, we'll be recording on Sunday.
I think she said Sunday's pretty good for her.
We'll attempt.
I'd rather do it Sunday than Monday, because Monday is a holiday here in the States, yeah. And I'd like to sleep in.
Okay, then we'll attempt to do it on
you sleep, do you,
Sunday.
I got what, 3.5 hours sleep last night?
Sounds like me. I've got about that much too, Kirby.
In the meantime, thank you.
Which reminds me, the original title for Claws of Axos was Vampire.
Yeah. That makes sense, really. Doesn't it? Thank you all.
Because they talk about nutrition cycles.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, they were leeching off mankind kind of thing, sucking their energy. So that was, you know.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I was saying, thank you all for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast this week. We'll be back next week, fingers crossed. Everything goes to plan. Wives don't interfere with stuff. To talk about Asylum of the Daleks, and of course, if it releases their time crash on a delayed basis. So until then, thank you for listening. Don't forget the feedback, especially for Asylum of the Daleks. So of course, you'll have to get that in pretty quick because we'll be recording the day after it goes out. So until next week. goodbye.
You're just excited.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Is an ABP3 services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!